Tonight, I want to talk about the power of your words.
Amen.
And we need to be reminded of this a lot.
Yes.
Our words are to be weaponized.
Yes.
It's not enough that you don't speak badly about others, which is really great,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not enough that you stop there.
Right.
You've been given something to exert dominion,
yes. Yes.
To exert control. The right kind of control over the enemy, amen?
Amen.
And so as I was seeking the Lord about this, he just dropped it in my heart that we need to talk about the power of your words. Pastor Nancy's been preaching about it. And we hear it, but you need to hear it and hear it and hear it until your behaviors change.
Yes.
Until you start doing this. You know, it's like a reflex. Yeah, you know exactly what to say. Your response is guarded but perfectly right according to the word.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And our eyes need to be opened more and more and more,
yes,
to the power that God has put on the inside of us with his word and us speaking that word in authority and dominion.
Amen.
It's so critical. It is so important. This is what he gives us to do, and it puts handles on everything. There's nothing out there that you can't have the right words given to you, either directly through the written scriptures or by the Spirit to handle a situation.
Yes.
And once you get those words, that's what's supposed to be in your mouth.
Amen.
That is what you're exerting authority over the enemy with,
yeah,
those words. And I want this church to spring out of bed in the morning with those words.
Yes.
Those words that you have, those words that you're exercising from a place in your spirit.
Yeah.
Not just guarding your mouth against speaking wrong words, whether it's over yourself, whether it's towards others. We're going to be talking about a few different things tonight. But Holy Ghost, you have a way that makes teaching and preaching your word powerful. And it just goes into the heart. And Lord, revelation is so needed on this subject. Father, I pray that you would fill this room right now. Touch every spirit, touch every mind, touch every body that's sitting here, Lord. And Father, that we would be able to grasp this and that we would begin to walk in it much, much higher. Wherever we're at, Lord, we want to leave tonight higher, more determined than ever to speak words of life, to exercise our authority and dominion, and Father, to answer things. Even though tonight it's about the words, Lord, but with words we answer things. And so I thank you for your presence here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I got my phone Bible, which doesn't look very impressive, but it's got my favorite Bible on it, which allows me to look at the deeper meanings of the words. And I want to do that for certain of these verses tonight. So turn with me in the Word to Proverbs 18, verse 21. So how are we using our tongue? Is it going to bless our life or is it going to cause difficulty? Because I guarantee you it's doing something. Whether you're aware of it, whether you acknowledge it, the way we use our words, the things that we speak out of our mouth directly affects our life, difficulties that we're facing, difficulties that come upon us that we don't need to face if we would do the word, if we would listen to what the word has to say about harnessing our mouth, restraining our mouth, and also letting the words fly out of our mouth in the proper way. So Proverbs 18, verse 21, and it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, the word power here means custody or in the hand of the tongue or dominion. So death and life are in the custody of the tongue. Now, we hear this, but you have to believe this. Otherwise, it's just another nice, neat little sermon. Death and life are in your tongue.
Yes, it's so true.
There's dominion in there. The custody of those words are on your tongue. You have power over those words, but you're going to have to love either life or death.
That's
And part of loving it is knowing about it and acknowledging, what am I speaking that is death?
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I speaking that is life? And how can I get to the side of everything that's coming out of my mouth is life?
Yes.
And how can I obliterate streams that are death? And I'll be talking about that tonight. But death and life, well, death, it means ruin. It means to kill. Words kill. They ruin when they're death. They bring pestilence. They bring hell. But if you speak life, it means freshness, springing up, merriment, joy, and power. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, he that keeps or guards his tongue keeps his life, keeps his vitality. Do we hear this? He that guards his tongue keeps the vitality of his life. This shows the connection between the health of what we're speaking, the rightness or the wrongness of our mouth, and the health of our bodies. It's a direct connection. Health and longevity are linked completely to our tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So our words are sitting on either side of the fence tonight. Death or life. And I'm sure all of us have ratios of our batting average. Some of us, a lot of us have really taken the time to streamline our language, and so we're doing better. But there's so much more. There is so much more to have words weaponized, working for you on purpose. Times set aside to speak life against things that don't look like life. But if the word says that there's life coming out of these words and that I get to eat of the fruit of it, the fruit of the results of those words, then we need to pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth, because I guarantee you, whether you're connecting dots or not, your words are affecting your life today, where you're at, where your health is at, relationships are at, marriages are at. Relationships are so key in our life, and it is so important that we restrain this and make it say the right things. Now remember, the old man is trained to speak what it sees, feels, looks at, tastes, whatever. But the new man is completely different. The new man is being trained because that life is in there. So we're training our whole nature by our spirit to speak only life. Only life. And, you know, you cringe sometimes when you hear it, because you look back over your life and you realize things you've said, things you've done, the doors you've opened because you said things. And I'm going to share some personal stories tonight. But you're going to pay for it. But the closer you get to the Lord and the older you get in the Lord, the quicker judgment comes. It is true. And the devil is looking for that door. And he might not be in the door, but you might not be utilizing at all the word of God in speaking it frequently. A lot of us think that because we agree, we agree. Someone says the word, we can finish the Bible verse. Yeah. You know, we agree. Yes, sister, and we can agree. Yes. That is not the same as on purpose getting up and using the God-given word and putting it out there, speaking it out there, observing it, putting it in your heart, and then speaking it at those mountains. Remember, Mark 11, 23, it's speaking to the mountain. And I just find it so interesting that the highest thing in the world gets thrown into the deepest thing in the world. And I know that word, he said the sea, because the word of God is limitless, boundless. It can destroy any enemy. And people automatically think, but this has been going on for years. Oh, when there's precision with the tongue, when there's the believing heart that has a revelation of not giving words to the enemy, of not giving territory to the enemy, then things happen much quicker.
Amen.
There's a precision that comes from the tongue. But if you begin, you have to look at this and gain more light in this. This is a critical part. It touches every single part of our Christian life. Every single part is touched by words. The Word of God. It's touched by every part. And so we need revelation. Listen, life, the life that we live, is every arena of it is touched by words that we speak. Listen, when I was in my 20s, before Craig and I were married, I had to use words to speak to an evil spirit that was trying to drive me out of church. It came on so fast, this situation. I was social in high school. I had a lot of friends. I didn't see this coming. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in church, and I can feel this panic roll in the last 15 minutes of the service. No one was cornering me. No one was making me feel this. There was no logic to this, but there was a panic. And I would scurry out of church. And the one or two times Craig tried to stop me, trying to help me, I fussed at him and was angry and shoved him out of the way and said, give me the keys, and went and sat down in the garage that was underground. And I was very disturbed by this because I didn't see any good end, and there wasn't one. But it was an awful feeling, and I would panic to get out of church. But when I went into church, it was there, and it would get worse and worse until the end of the service. And so I was home one day, and I was asking the Lord about it. I was praying about it. And he was strict with me. He was stern. I think he was fed up with me because I had heard enough of how to speak to things and how to use my faith. But I was so taken with what I was feeling. And I was scared that I couldn't make it go. And this is how he said it. He said it to me. He said, resist it. And I said, Lord, I will resist it. And he said, plead my blood. And so when the end of the service would come, I would sit, and at times, not in a noticeable way, but there were times when I would put my hands down between the seat and I would hang on because I knew I had to stay in that seat until the service was over, until people had mingled, and I had resisted it fully. Whether I felt like I was gaining the upper hand or not, I had to resist it. But I resisted it with words. The whole time the enemy is saying, that's not enough. That's not enough, what you're doing. That's not enough. And I would say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. You foul spirit, leave me. I plead the blood. I am not sick. I am not having a problem with this. This is not mine. And I would just, and you know, it took about maybe 2 months. But 2 months is nothing. It was coming to get me. It was not going to leave unless forced. It was forced by words.
Amen. Yes.
There was nothing spectacular about it. Nothing. But it worked. The power of God's word always works. Those words are so important because if you speak death and you speak the problem, that's death.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the fruit of those words. You never give your mouth to the thoughts of the enemy or the things that you can see. And if you do, repent quickly and get right back up. Get right back up. There was a time in my mother's life when things had been very difficult for her and she experienced something. Some people would say your nerves are affected, you're shaky on the inside. You're just having problems. And she made the mistake, and she shared this with me, and it's probably something I'll share in the future, you know, if books get written or whatever. But she said, I made the mistake. She said, I was sitting in my bedroom, and I made the mistake, because the pressure was so great on my mind. She said, I said to myself, I said it out loud. I spoke out loud in the room and said, I may as well give up and let the devil take over my mind. Exactly. But see, the pressure was there to get her to say those words. And she said, as soon as she said it, in the corner of the room, she saw literally she saw as if physically in the room, a black cloud begin to accumulate and roll across that room for her. And she said, I knew when it got to me, I was going to lose my mind. These things are spiritual. And she said, but the Lord came to my rescue. She had enough word in her. She said it was like the Holy Spirit took over. Now, it's not always that way, but in this case, because she spent a lot of time praying, she said the insides of her arms began to shake and the anointing came upon her. Yeah, he was coming to rescue. And she said, I lifted my hands. And as I did, she said, from my chest, she said, I screamed the name of Jesus. And she said, when I did, it was like it hit that black cloud and it punched it right back out of sight and it was gone. And she said, I got up healed. I was strong. I could feel all of that oppression, that shakiness, that nervousness was gone. The power of our words. Now, these are extreme things, but I like it. I like the most non-dramatic things. I love the extreme things. I love the stories just like you do. I do. But I like it in the place sometimes we're not expecting. I like it in the everyday. I like it in the non-dramatic because God's there. And it's important. It's so important for us to harness and restrain words. It's important. I'm going to get in tonight. It's important how you speak over yourself. It's important how you speak to and about others. Very, very key. And a lot of us are not making connections. We're not making connections. We get sick and we're not making connections that it's because of the way we're speaking about other people. And it's important that we put a stop to it. You don't have to engage in that whatsoever. So look with me in Proverbs 15, verse 4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So God is calling your tongue a tree. He's calling your tongue, this, a tree. And that tree grows fruit. It's made to grow fruit. And that means that your tongue and your words are the root and the root system and the branches that grow fruit in your life based on how you're using your tongue. And you'd better believe it. You'd better believe this. This is happening whether you're acknowledging it or not, whether you're keen on it, understand it or not. This is very important. One way we obey God is in how we use our words, not just speaking faith words, but how we speak of others and to others. 1 Peter 3:10 says, he that will love life and see good days, he shall refrain, which means restrain, his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, guile means trickery, sending in a decoy or deceit. So your words have to be true and they have to come from the right source. If you want a happy, good life, keep control of your tongue and guard your lips from telling lies. So it says, he that will love life and see good days. Well, what's good days? Health, prosperity, joy, peace. Peace as far as we can walk into it with others, which is a different kind of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. No one can take that from us. But then there's peace in walking with our fellow men, right? Amen. James 3 and verse 2 to verse 8. James 3 verse 2 to 8. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect, which means mature, man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, all, I think I wrote this wrong, something about ships, though which they be so great, and they're driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. In other words, wherever the captain wants to go, that rudder takes it. This is what the Bible is saying. This is the tongue. This is the rudder for our entire life, our entire well-being. This is how important it is. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Mm-hmm. Which means our tongue, if it's got fire, oh my goodness, it can burn everything down.
Yes.
And it says, and the tongue is a fire. Not going to be, it is. This is what it is. It's a fire. A world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. A world of iniquity. This is sobering. That it defiles the whole body. This thing defiles, brings sickness, brings disease, brings lust, brings problems, the tongue. And setteth on fire the course of nature. And in the translation, it means to burn it up. And it sets it on fire of hell. So what we speak connects directly to the rest of every part of our body. But do we believe it? A healthy body comes from a healthy tongue. A healthy tongue is in the love walk.
Yes.
It is. It is. A healthy tongue means a healthy body. If we use our tongue the wrong way, it will 100% boomerang back and affect us. It may affect the other person, but it's definitely going to affect you. If we talk wrong about others, we're opening doors if we talk wrong. If you excuse yourself, oh, this is, you know, it's not that bad. Or it's, well, it could have been worse. I hardly said anything. It still counts as death. Randy Greer tells a story, it's a true story, about how he was called to pray for a politician. And he said he got there with some other important people who knew this politician. And they were ministers, and they gathered around the bed to pray because he was dying. And they began to prophesy, all of them, about how he would live and not die. And he would raise up off that deathbed. And the Lord spoke to Brother Randy and said, don't touch him, he's going to die. Yeah. And he said, Lord, can this be changed? And we came to pray for him. And he said, not at this time. He said, this man in his life was cruel to others. See, that didn't happen overnight. It didn't. And that's a reason why a lot of us are not connecting dots. Because seasons are passing, and we might not really be, because if our hearts are not evil, we may not be thinking, I got away with it. You know what I mean? But it seems like we are getting away with it. We're not diseased, we're not necessarily sick, but we say things.
Yeah.
And yet, there seems to be that a time will come, if you don't begin to clear this up and do the word in this area, that doors do open.
Yes.
And you do pay for things.
Yeah.
I know this is sobering, but there's joy in this because we have all the power we need. Listen, I'll read the scripture, but nothing can tame the human tongue, but a born-again spirit can and should. The born-again spirit totally tames the tongue. But man can't tame the tongue. The non-regenerated spirit cannot tame the tongue. It's impossible. I remember a time when we went to Russia, the first time I think it was, to St. Petersburg with Pastor Nancy. And when we got there, by the time we got there, I had a horrible barking cough. You know, the kind of cough where you've got the sweats and you can't hide it.
Yeah.
You can't hide. You can feel miserable sometimes and you can hide it. You take Tylenol or whatever and you look okay on the outside. Well, this was not that. This was me. I couldn't seem to stop the cough. It was a heavy, deep cough in my chest. I was sweating. My throat was sore. And I'm sitting at the table with Pastor Nancy. All of us are sitting there. And out of nowhere, she says, you know, and she begins to tell this story about how she was in the pulpit at one point, and she was bringing up something about a denomination. And it seemed reasonable. It was not harsh in a sense. And she felt the Holy Spirit check her on the inside. Don't say it. And she said, she overrode it. And she said it. And she said, within that hour, all the symptoms of a deep flu was on her that had been racking different members of the congregation. And when you are used to speaking to things when they come and they listen to you all the time, you better believe it, that if it should be listening to you. So if something comes, you better check yourself if you can't get rid of something. So anyway, she starts telling me this story about how all these symptoms came on her, and she went in the back room and the Lord told her, I checked you. I told you not to say that. And you said it publicly, so now you'll have to repent publicly, but if you'll do it, I'll take these symptoms off you. And so she said, yes, I will definitely do that. I'm sorry, Lord. And she did publicly say it, and God took it off like right away. So as she's sitting there telling me this story, I'm just enjoying this story, trying to learn from her, you know, hacking through my meal and trying not to be heard. The Lord said to me, and what have you said recently? It was an O. I wasn't connecting the dots. I stopped and I went, and then I remembered. And I remembered that a minister that we had had dealings with had come to the church, and he was an elder, and he was doing things that, oh Lord, were questionable. Not criminal, just not things that we would have preferred. And so things didn't go very smoothly. There was no fighting. There was no, you know, harsh words. You don't rebuke an elder. But it was not a good feeling. And I've got to be honest with you, the people that we have around us, there's nothing but good feelings. The relationships are so God-given. Amen. So we're used to a certain standard. And so when you run into something else, it doesn't feel very pleasant. And so it fizzled out, and that ended. But we were fine. But in my heart, I was not very impressed with that minister. So I spoke some words. And I thought they were fine, because I felt what he did was wrong. I still feel what he did was wrong. But I spoke his name, and I spoke it to two or three different people, and I was so justified, because what he did was, I felt was wrong. And I had agreement from other people. But as soon as the Lord said it, and what have you been saying lately? I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I felt instantly, nothing matters to me more than being right with God. I don't care. I said, Father, forgive me. I forgive that man. I'll never speak about it again. I'll never bring up his name in a way that's not right. I'm so sorry. But you know, that cough that I had stayed for 2 to 3 weeks. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I repented of this. He said, this lesson is so critical for you. It is important that you remember not to do this. It is dangerous for you to do this. You have to get this. Otherwise, you will open the door to the enemy. And I said, lesson learned. Well, the lesson should have been learned. Right? So fast forward some time, a couple years, and I'm talking to someone about, I got a little bee in my bonnet, maybe a difference of doctrine. And I think that what I'm saying is fine. It has to do with the way certain things are taught by a certain minister, and I love this minister. But I just thought there was room to discuss it with other ministers more junior than me. And so I don't think I'm saying anything hateful. I think I'm being really above board. And as I'm saying it, and my husband is there, and he's not very impressed. So he's trying to signal me, like, but I'm justified. I'm justified. I have a point. Well, I go back to the house, and then within 24 hours, I am sick, sick, sick. And I go to church because I'm thinking, oh, the devil's attacking me and I'm going to stand, but it wouldn't leave. I'm used to things leaving when I say, no, no, it doesn't last. Things can come in within an hour. All the symptoms are gone. I'm used to standing, speaking, and it goes. And I go to church, and I'm standing there, and I'm praising and worshiping, and all of a sudden, it gets very, very still and very quiet, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. God is going to talk to me. And I heard those same words again. He said, would you like to know why you're sick? And I heard that tone. I thought, oh, my God, I've messed up again. I said, yes. He said, do you remember the words that you said about so-and-so? And I mean, at this point, I'm ready to defend myself. I just feel like I said, okay, God, I repent. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And then I said this. I said, well, who am I going to talk to? In other words, like, I need to talk about this. I'm like, I have a difference of opinion. Who am I going to talk to? And he was not happy. And this is exactly how he said it. You talk to me. And that's what I did. I went, ooh. You talk to me. And he said this. He said, and never, ever to, and he used military language, subordinates. Never. I went, I got it. I'm sorry. I repent. There are spiritual conversations to be had with the Lord when something is bothering you. But they're still spiritual conversations. It's not so you can whine to the Lord about the 20 attributes that you can't stand about somebody else. He knows how you feel. And you can talk to him. But it's still spiritual. And he wants to give those answers. I felt so small. Because I thought, I know better. But I gave my words to the devil, and he struck me. So, it's very important that we learn how to speak. If it's that important that you need to talk about it, take it to Jesus himself and wait until he answers you. Yeah. Because he will answer you if you're serious about it. There's a lot of lessons in what I just said. Yes. A lot. How about when someone attacks someone you love? And they don't see the stellar person that you think they are. And they just go whole hog after this person. And they're a minister. Well, I think it's our job, perhaps, to stand in the gap, which I did. This is the third time. And I was so cavalier because I'm protecting someone that I love. And no, it's not a family member. It's actually a congregation member. And I just thought, well, you know, my shoulders went back and I thought, that's not right. And you know what? It wasn't. But what's more wrong is me sitting at a lunch with other people and saying the name of the minister and talking about how wrong they were. And I got sick again. And I think the Lord said, three strikes, you're out. You got to watch what you say. Now, he's merciful with me, but I fear him. I love him. More than I fear him. But I don't like that feeling. And I like the feeling of a restrained tongue. When you put your head down at night and you know you have not participated, you have not run someone down, no matter what, you have just restrained yourself, then you know that you're on your way to maturity. And you never regret keeping your tongue. Dad Hagen talked about a man who was in his 90s who came into one of his meetings. And this man in his 90s had kept all of his teeth, had no fillings. And please don't laugh at the next phrase. I know you're going to, but please don't. He had a full head of hair. Still after. Okay. It's not fun to lose your hair, female or male. So this man decided years ago, I'm going to speak, and God is going to keep the hair count, and God's going to keep my teeth. And he was diligent about it. So whereas some people would be like, whatever, whatever, he took it to heart. Well, it's the word.
Yes.
There's power in your words. Yes. The only reason you wouldn't do it is because you don't believe there's power in your words. So he decided, I'm gonna do that. And so he gave glory to God in front of Dad Hagen. And he was walking off, and this is the part that I love. And he turned back and he came back, and it says this. It says, then he came back as he was leaving and said, but first I asked God to help me keep my tongue. He recognized it was directly connected to his health and longevity. And this, I love this. Dad Hagen, this is rare. Dad Hagen said he never heard this man ever criticize or say something negative about other people. When others would say something negative about other people, that man would always find something positive to say about them. That man was demonstrating Proverbs 12, verse 18, and was being wise with his tongue and the words that he spoke from his mouth about others and to others. Wow. That takes focus. That's got to get into your want to. You understand? You got to know what you're doing when you say, I refuse. We are living in a world of imperfect people. People hurt other people. They say terrible things. Please don't misunderstand me. There is a way to deal with other people. There's a way to fix a lot of things. Some things you're not going to fix. But there's communication. There's skills with that. There's wisdom to handle situations. If you're a boss at work, you're handling your coworkers or the people underneath you. You don't just leave that. You don't just ignore things that have to be addressed. But obviously there is a way to address it that brings life. Even in correction, there's nothing but life. But the wrong spirit, saying things from the wrong spirit, you cannot fake God. He knows the source of those words coming out of your heart. You cannot fake him. Well, God, I just said this. No, no. Listen, I'll say this. Where have I got my notes on this? I want to say it right. Speaking wrong about people is a bad habit.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Rehearsing.
Yes.
Trauma talk.
Yes. So
we're not denying if something happened, but that's not your exit.
No.
That's not your exit.
Yes.
Gossip.
Yes.
Oh, gossip's huge. Slander is a key. It's just another step up from gossip. Slander is lies about people. Well, if you've got a bad habit of speaking your opinion, then you can restrain yourself. And in place of that, the Bible tells you how to deal with that. It tells you to praise God. And it gives you scriptures of what words to put in your mouth. I gotta find my notes. Where am I? Proverbs 18, verse 8. Actually, just back up with me. Back up with me to James 1, verse 26. Anyone who thinks himself to be religious, piously observant of the external duties of his faith, but he can or does not bridle his tongue, he deludes his own heart. This person's religious service is worthless, futile, or barren. So any good deeds or acts of service that we may do cannot substitute for the lack of the right use of our tongue. It makes what you're doing futile and makes it worthless if this is going in the wrong direction. Proverbs 18, verse 8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Well, where's your heart and your spirit? Bible says the belly, right? The hidden door of the heart. So it will affect them, but it affects your spirit. It affects your heart in a bad way. It muddles, it clouds. It's not pure. There was a minister back in the 40s. I guess it's okay to say his name. It's like there's books written about it. People know it in this congregation. But does anyone know about Jack Coe? Remember, he had an amazing miracle ministry. But God had told Dad Hagen to talk to him. He needed to judge himself in three areas. And one of them was not being right with the brethren. And, those changes were not made, and he died young. He died at 38 years of age. And that ministry, all that was invested, gone. Right? You can't fake God. Elitism, snobbery, mocking, putting down others, snarkiness, sarcasm, are all marks against you in God's kingdom. And you are slowing yourself down in the muck of life if you do not listen. Sarcasm's a lot of fun, but you've got to watch out. Remember the source, right? Dr. Lester Sumrall said, the wrong words spoken is like going up to the top of a mountain with a pillowcase and slitting it open and letting the feathers go everywhere. He said, once they're released, you can't get them all back. So you may be forgiven, but you can't take those words back, right? So I'm going to repeat this. Sometimes sickness doesn't come in a dramatic way, and it is harder to connect the dots because time has passed. But prevention is worth an ounce of cure. Muzzle your mouth. It is part of your service to God. A good test is to ask yourself, if Jesus were standing here watching me, would I say that? Or would I say them to him? I love this. E.W. Kenyon, pastor, talked about this in one of her messages recently. His book, it's a little booklet called Signposts on the Road to Success. And this is what he said. Govern your tongue and say nothing that will injure anyone around you. Practically all the injury that is done to a character, to a business, to a home, to a person is done with words. The man or the woman who makes no contribution to destructive thought or destructive talk is a valuable asset anywhere. That means he's deaf to anything that is destructive to another. He is blind to anything that folks around him do. He cannot speak of it because he has mastery over himself. The efficiency, I love this, and I don't love this, but I love the way it's worded. The efficiency of an office is reduced 50% by idle, unkind words. The man who can govern his temper, his tongue, and his appetites, though he has but mediocre ability, is bound to get to the top, for gaining the mastery will be his first real victory. Careless speaking is a vicious habit. When one realizes his words are the coin of his kingdom. Do you hear that? And his words can be a cursing influence or a blessing, he will learn to value the gift of speech. We set our world with this gift of speech. Control your tongue or it will control you. And I love the way this is worded. This is still out of his book. You will often hear men say, I speak my mind. Yeah. That's well if you have a good mind. Yes. But if your mind is poisoned, it is not good, and idle words spoken may fall into the soil of someone's life and heart and poison his whole life and your own. What a blessing good conversation is, and what a curse its opposite. Make your tongue a blessing. Make your tongue a blessing. Never a curse. A person is judged by his speech. Your words make you a blessing or a curse. Your words may carry a fortune in them. Learn to be the master of the things that you say and have mastery over yourself. Amen. Look, wrong speaking is a bad habit. Look, I put down here being critical. Oh, you better cut that off. Circumcise that from your soul. Be somebody, demand that you become somebody different. Yes. Be different. Yeah. Murmuring. Being overly opinionated. Well, murmuring, I remember, oh my goodness, me and housework. I love to say, well, I don't sit down. I never sit down. you know, we have our own opinions, okay? So that was the thing. There's always plenty to do. But one day the Lord, I could feel his displeasure. And I felt like, what? And he said, you know what he said to me? He said, if you would quit the complaining and ask me to help you, not just to help you do the work, ask for help. Ask for systems. Ask for help. What is it you need? You don't ask because you're too busy murmuring and complaining. And I would get so worked up. And I was the person that tore the atmosphere apart if the house got too messy. And then it was like, my mom's not going to like this, me telling on her, but on Saturdays when I would grow up, Mom would get a bee in her bonnet and I would hear the vacuum cleaner whacking up against my bedroom door, you know, Saturday morning. You know, and I understand her now, but that I started to do that too. Not the vacuum cleaner bit, but I would get very agitated. But I reasoned that it was perfectly reasonable because it was messy and it shouldn't be that way. People needed to pick up their stuff, and God was, you know, he didn't appear in a vision to all my family members. He dealt with me. Why? Why would he deal with me and not them? Think about it. Why? Because there's power in what I say, and there's power to fix it. My kids are messy. My kids are this. My kids are that. Keep going. Well, it's true. Yeah, but it's going to get worse. There's not going to be any help released to you. There's nothing spiritual in that conversation. God, you're going and you're going, but there's handles right here. Handles of the word that if you would just take a hold of them, you could change you. So it was one of the things Craig didn't like about me was I would get agitated. I'd get so agitated. Well, what does that mean? Grumpy, complaining, mean-spirited, because I'm right, because everything should be in its place. I've got a license now to be mad, right? I have the right to be mad. And I'm telling you, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. It's like, if you would just change, I wouldn't be like this. You know? I'm telling you, I'm being so transparent. But God didn't deal with them, him or the kids. It was me. He was so strict with me. Now, that sounds unfair until I woke up to the fact that I have power. Yeah. And what I say, you know, the change didn't come overnight, but it came. Amen. Help started showing up. You want me to help you with this? What about this system? I remember when we moved, we had boxes in the garage. I'm like, oh my God, dragging boxes from house to house. Don't do it, people. Don't do it. Do not do it. It's a no, don't do it. But I did it. And so for a long time, there's boxes in the garage, in my house now, where I was. And then one day, Miss Lorraine got a team of people who came up, and God bless my soul, I could see the floors of the garage. And everything got gutted. Everything got cleaned out. Now, that was a source of help for me, but there's a source of help for every single one of us.
Amen.
But God did deal with me. It sounds funny. He began to deal with me about my mouth, my attitude, my ugly, entitled, grouchy, spitfire, I'm going to fight attitude. But there was no help there. And when he began to deal with me, I'd sit in sermons and I hear it and I think, oh, I'm doing that. I thought I was right. Now I'm doing that. I'm opening up the door to the devil to come in here. But as soon as I begin to change my words, helps. I do not allow myself to gripe. I don't. I do not allow myself to gripe. And if I do, I'm not saying I've never done it since, but I'm quick to go, oh, no, we don't do that. No, No, there's help for me. I will ask you for help. I will ask you for help. You will help me figure this out. It only takes one. It only takes one. God dealing with one to figure it out. You have so much help at your disposal if you talk to the Lord instead of grumble and complain and criticize. Right?
Amen.
So I said it's a bad habit. So you have to get in the habit of saying something good, whether it's something good about someone else. Practice. Making sure that what you say is worth hearing. The Word tells us how to do this in Psalm 34, verse 1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let me just go back. You can talk to my husband today and he will verify what I'm saying. That I would come home and if the house was a mess, I would be kaboom in my personality. I'd come down on everybody. I was ready to fight with everything and everyone. But I began to see how ugly I was. And so I began to change. And I would come home, like especially if you come home after a trip and the suitcases have to be unpacked. While you were away, people were working in your home, but you've got your system. You know, the measuring cup's in the wrong cupboard. You know what I mean? So I would come home and for the first 2 to 3 days just completely stress out. Because it's not the way that I want it. Plus it took me 2 days to undo the suitcases, do the laundry, put things back. And it's not like that anymore. But I stopped getting angry on purpose. And Craig would say, don't get mad, because I said, no, it's okay, it's okay. In other words, what am I saying? I'm dealing with myself. The world's not going to end if it takes an extra day or two or three. And then I got to the point where it was like, it doesn't matter how long it takes because I'm not going back there.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to go back there. I'm not allowed to be mouthy. And fight.
Yeah.
I'm to blame. Yeah. I'm to blame. And it took God for me to see that, because I'm not wrong. I'm right. No, I'm not. You stop being right the minute you enter into strife. Why? Why? Because he gave you power. You can ask heaven to help you. And words. And calm down. And be at peace. If Paul can be at peace in a prison, and I am not joking, you can be at peace if something's rubbing you the wrong way. If a person's rubbing you the wrong way. If your house is a mess and makes you itch, you can be at peace. Whatever your button is, you can be at peace. You can choose. And you can start talking. You can start, no, I don't lose my cool over that anymore. No. I have the fruit of the Spirit. God, you're helping me with this. I don't have to fight this out. I need help. I need you to help me with this, help my nature, but help me fix it.
Amen.
Help me fix it. Solve the problem.
Yes. Yes.
When I begin to just... Can you see yourself at all in this, even if your habit is different to mine? It'll change your whole life. It will change your life. It will change your life. But he's telling you... He's given you a good habit by putting the right words in your mouth. Okay? Philippians 4, 6 to 9, whatsoever, yeah. You know, and he lists them, of a good report.
That's right.
Worthy of praise.
Yes.
He's not joking.
It's true. Yes.
You think on those things. And then we think, well, if I think on those things, nothing gets fixed. Lie number one. They will get fixed if you ask the Father to help you. Your job is to speak right and stay calm and don't get in the flesh. He will prove himself to you. He will help you. He will help you. Don't gripe and complain and criticize. It doesn't change anything. It's just you were right. Yay. You know, it doesn't change anything. Right? But if you ask heaven to back you up and you stay in peace, and you walk out and your kids' clothes are like all over the floor. When I was a kid, I would get so mad. I feel like I cleaned my room and somebody else came and messed it up. But the problem was there was nobody else. And I felt like that. I felt so hopeless. I needed help. I needed systems. I was the messy kid. I would go in my room and think, somebody threw all my clothes on the floor. But they didn't. It was so messy. I never put anything back. So I began to get sick of myself and start to learn. But then, if you can rein yourself in and think in a situation that bothers you, what words do I say to change this? What words am I going to speak over that messy child? And I started to speak to one of my messy children and say, honey, mommy was just like that. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you find systems that work for you. Once a week, we're going to clean out. Just once a week. And I, not because I'm so great, because trust me, I started the process with, oh my God, you're such a pig. Well, I don't know if I said pig, but I felt it. And then I thought, you are such a hypocrite. You were worse. You were worse. Help your child. And, but the words now, remember, before I was talking, answer it. If there's problems circling you, problems circling your children, you can't just say what you see. You have an arsenal of what you can say. Don't just say a little bit. Say a lot. Deal with the problem and then speak life. Deal with the problem, you know, factually, literally. Deal with it. If you got to deal with an issue and it's got to be talked about. But then that's done. So then you turn to God. You got all of his attention. And he will do the most interesting things. And before you know it, that mountain that you didn't know how to fix, it's gone. It's gone. You pleased the Father. You kept your mouth shut in the right way. You allowed life to come in. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the dominion in the hands of the tongue. Speak, speak, speak. You have to speak. You have to open your mouth. You have to talk. Not just to threats. Not just to threats. Not. You have to speak over yourself. Well, that one's a massive one. You have to speak life over yourself. There's an enemy out there who likes to slander you. You have to answer him. You have to speak right over yourself. Don't agree with him. Don't agree with his put downs. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, and I'm almost done, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. As we put the word in our mouth, it runs off the wrong speaking. You put the word in your mouth. You spend time with God. That little penchant you have to cuss.
That's good, Pastor. Yeah.
That thing that, you know, you think nobody sees, but God sees.
Yes.
Those words that fly to your mouth when you're super angry. You only say them once or twice a year, but they're there. I shouldn't say this in church, but I would always say, because I had convinced myself that the word bloody was fine. So I'd say bloody, and I would say it. And the Holy Spirit would say, I didn't say that was not, I didn't say you could say that. And I would say it, but I don't say it anymore.
Amen.
And I'm not trying. I just don't want to say it anymore. Yeah. There's restraint that has come up naturally in my spirit.
Yeah.
It's a safe feeling. I don't feel like, oh, I think I'm going to say it. I can feel it rolling in. He cleans your mouth. He will clean your mouth. He will. He'll clean your mouth. He's so good. Let me say this. Romans 8:13 says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, deeds of the body is the tongue saying the wrong things too, okay? You shall live. You must employ the help of the Holy Ghost in keeping your tongue under. Don't make excuses for yourself. Just humble yourself and call it what it is.
Yeah.
If we take time to pray in the Spirit, it will help us keep our tongue under control. Pastor Nancy told a story about Billy Fraser. Fraser, I don't know. But he was the one that got Dad Dufresne saved. And he was the one that witnessed to him for a year on the work site. And doctor was not good to him. He'd call him all kinds of names and persecute him. And he said, He noticed that after Billy would ask him to go to church and he'd cuss at him and make fun of him, he would go off to the outhouse because they were on a construction site every time. And he thought maybe Billy had a problem, you know, if he's always in the outhouse, right? But anyway, he asked him after he got saved, he said, "Do you have a physical problem? You always go to the outhouse." And you know what he said? His words were, "I went to the outhouse to pray in tongues so that I would not kill you." Isn't that good? But it is a great example of keeping your flesh under, because he wanted to throttle doctor. But if he had, he wouldn't have gone to church and gotten saved, right? And I'm ending right now with this verse. I love this verse. Romans 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. You are set free from speaking death. You don't have to cooperate with it another day. You can, don't get out and when something comes up and you just say the right words, that's good, but get up speaking. Get up speaking. I'm gonna, and from a living place, Father, I'm facing this. I've been facing this for a while. I want you to know what I believe. I'm gonna decree some things and you're gonna hear me say it. I'm gonna say this and this is gonna turn, and when it's done, it's gonna look like this, and you got surprises for me and this. I want you to know I believe it. I'm saying it because the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I'm practicing my saying, and I need heaven to hear me, and I'm saying. And then before you go to bed, get my scriptures out about my healing covenant. Father, I'm saying these things. I'm decreeing these things because they're real. Because they live on the inside of me. And because there's a law in place. These things have to change. So I'm saying, I'm not just saying it when I feel things. I gotta read the word. Say it, that's fine, that's good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting up saying. When you throw your feet over the bed, saying, what are we talking about today? What are we changing today? What are we reinforcing today? What do I believe today? No matter what I see, because my faith is going to end in sight. What am I saying? And if you will do that, you get up, you set the tone. You set the tone for what you're going to see. And don't give the devil your words anymore. Don't talk badly about others. Be kind. Harness this thing. Get it. Turn it around and get it speaking right. Get it speaking right. It's nothing but life for the born again believer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we have faith in this word about speaking. Speaking the right words, speaking faith words, speaking kind words, speaking life into things that would only have death. And Father, I thank you, the light of revelation about words, what we're saying, mountains we're talking to, everything that has to change. I thank you for the revelation in this place. Father, you've been patient with all of us. But let us come higher tonight, Father. We want to go higher. We want to go with you. We want to say what you want us to say and know it from the very fiber of our being, this law of life, this law of the Spirit of life. And so we give you praise and we worship you because your words are truth and they're life. And they change things. Redeem us, Father, in our hearts. You have, but that we would think right, that we would speak life into things, that we would not complain and gripe, but that we would speak life. I thank you for that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.